every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
And we would never talk about the market on the show, right, Alan?
We're going to talk about the market on this show.
We're allowed to talk about the market.
I know. But I was just making sure Alan was awake. You can't always tell with him. Sometimes he nods off and I bore him, you know. So I'm trying to keep him awake for the day. I am Joe Martech, and this is the Team Martech Hour. And today we have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. We have Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, special guest, special member. How long has it been now, Alan? You've been a special guest, special member?
Well, on WCNO, it's been 2.5 years, and on WPSL, 2 years.
Can you imagine that?
He's got to be our official record keeper.
He's really good at math. You know, I mean, listen, and when you guys are raising money, he's adding up the money as it's coming in his head, right?
In his head.
He's
exactly.
Pretty good, yeah.
He's good at that.
Now, he does change his numbers on occasion, depending on his mood.
My mood is good today.
Okay. Back in 2004, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, said, let's start doing radio shows because each one of us had a different area of expertise. And we could help people, teach people how to do things that each one of our areas were very important. Greg Fasula is primarily wills and trusts, which are very important documents, which include things like powers of attorney and health care surrogates and living wills that most of us, we hear the words and don't pay much attention to, but can be critically important given certain circumstances. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, I've used him as the best example to understand Mike Paulus, who's sitting here, who's a mortgage broker, also called a correspondent lender. You've got a lot of hats that you wear.
Sure.
But your probably most consistent one is mortgage broker, and most people understand that one better than most.
Yeah, I mean, we act as a mortgage lender, but we close the loan, we fund the loans in our own name, our own money, and then we end up selling them. And there's a slight difference in being a mortgage broker, but essentially the same thing. It gives us the opportunity to be independent, just like Dan Warren.
So you see, and that's where I was leading, because last week was the first time we had a caller, and the caller came up and said, why should I deal with, quote, a mortgage broker as opposed to a bank?
Mm-hmm. I remember that call.
You remember that call? And the genius that you have sitting across from you here, Alan Love, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. It was pretty simple for me to use an analogy using Dan Warren, an independent insurance agent, as your as a basis of comparison, because what most people don't realize, when you deal with a captive insurance agent, like I worked for a company called Farmers, which is a good company. I was a captive agent. Dan was Nationwide, good company, captive agent. But if somebody walks in the door and my company, captive company, says, we don't write that kind of insurance, I lose that person, so I don't make any money.
Right, and it's very important in insurance because all insurance companies have a certain appetite for different things.
So what happens is Dan, as an independent insurance agent, has got roughly 100 companies under his umbrella. He's almost 40 years in business, and I'm not too humble opinion, he's the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. And what he's been able to do for us individually in the group and us professionally in the group is quite staggering when you think about it.
Yes.
Having him as a as an asset, what he's been able to do to help people qualify for mortgages because he can afford to put them in the right. Anyway, where I was going with is, if you work for a bank, bank says, we have rules. Here's our rules. And there's a box.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to fit in that box. And if you don't fit in that box, you don't get a mortgage from us.
Correct. And it could take you 2 or 3 weeks to find out that you don't fit in that box.
So then with Mike Paulus, Mike says, okay, fine, you call in. Well, you don't fit in their box, and you don't fit in their box, but I've got 25 different boxes that I work with. And then if I have a problem making you fit in any one of those 25, I call up an expert in credit, and we work at how to correct your credit and give you a time frame on how to do it so you can fit into one of those boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So banks,
I'm more of a mortgage counselor, you might say.
Well, and I think in defense of all of us, I think every one of us are counselors, that we listen to a person and say, how can we help you? How can we achieve your goal? In my business, one of the rules when you're a securities rep, I'm a let's call it an investment advisor rep. I'm a securities principal, lots of licenses. One of the most important things we're taught is listen to your client, find out what their goal is. What are they trying to accomplish, and what's the time frame? Because there's 30,000 different investments out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say one shoe fits everybody. We've got to make sure that you, the cart and the horse, are in the proper order.
Well, so, I think this is true for everyone on our show. We spend most of our time educating our consumer, where a lot of people don't even bother. They just take their order and give them what they want.
Yeah. And literally, thank you, Lord, there's none of us that are poor. We're all successful. We're all grateful. I have become unbelievably grateful to be an American these last 2 days and watching our presidential funeral and listening to some of the eulogies and some very, 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 very powerful people. And it just made me very proud to listen to some of these people talk about the good man, not necessarily good politician, but the good man that George Herbert Walker Bush was. It was just very gratifying.
Yeah, it was very moving. But I don't remember with other presidents, did they declare a national holiday like they did today?
I don't think so. I think
this is something new, though.
Our current president decided that today, it wasn't, quote, a national holiday, but he just decided that certain things should be closed.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the power to do that.
Well, the market was closed, and thank God for that.
Yeah, and not necessarily, you don't know. Which leads me to a new subject, but let me just stay with the rest of the group. So then, that leads us to Vince Rizzino, CPA. Well, here's what happens again. We talk to somebody, whether they need to have investment advice, whether they need to set up a 401k, whether it's a solo 401k, whether it's a SEP or a simple, or with all kinds of different vehicles. You usually have to tie together somebody with some tax expertise to put this whole picture together, and that's critical. So Vince is not only a CPA, he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness, and he had taught at the college level. So he's got credentials up the yin-yang, and the man knows his stuff.
Well, I can testify that he has saved me a lot of money with one of those products that you had just mentioned, a solo 401k.
It's a... there's all kinds of different things. So when we start talking words that people don't understand, this is our business, and we spend a lot of time trying to learn and understand these things. And if you don't fit X, you might fit Y or Z or A or B or D, whatever the letter is. Our job is to find one that makes you happy and educate you so you know what you're doing. Which Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, you and her, hand in glove, hardest working realtor, hardest working person probably alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She called me today. She said she was going to try to make it to the show. I kind of figured maybe she wouldn't, but anyway.
She made the first one this morning.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
We took her 5 minutes to unwrap her stuff from around the chair. You know how she can be entertaining as all get out.
Yes. But, yeah, she referred me a customer. She wasn't going to be working with them on the real estate side, but just trying to save them some money.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of person she is.
Well, I think if there's anything our group espouses is what goes around comes around. If you do the right thing for people, it comes around to you. I had a client of mine who had almost 10 pounds worth of trust documents, and she didn't understand a word of the stuff in there, and I deciphered it down to one page, and then she found out it wasn't what she wanted. Then I sent her to Greg, and she went to see Greg, and Greg counseled her and went through everything, and said, she says, what do I owe you? And he said, nothing. And she goes, why? And he says, because you'll be back. Bottom line was, we answered the questions, got her on the right train, but now she's got somebody she can trust going forward. Have we skipped anybody?
Joe Martek.
Oh, remember him. Which leads us back into the market.
Yes, it does.
Well, let me just jump up and down a little bit on a product that has become extremely strong and very important in the last year or two, and it's a good thing for people to learn about to see if it fits. Now, no such thing as everything fitting everybody. But this particular product is called a variable annuity. There is always going to be controversy about every product. There's going to be controversy about no matter what you do. What's an annuity? Annuity is a contract with an insurance company. Why do I have such a thing? Well, number one, I can put money into it, and if I don't take money out, there's no taxes. When I take money out, it's ordinary income tax, no other kind. If I get sued, it can't be taken away from me. That's an important one.
Sure.
And if I die, forget the word if. When I die, it's not subject to probate. It has named beneficiaries. So that's number one. Now, what's a variable mean? Variable means I'm in the market. I'm in the stock market. Now, what am I in? I'm in funds that look just like mutual funds, but they don't call them that, but they look and smell the same, and they pretty much are the same. And different funds have different characteristics. So let's just take a fund that's based in Egypt. Now, would you think that might be a little more volatile than a fund that's based in America?
I would think so.
Especially today, right?
Yes.
Let's take another fund that might be based in Italy.
A little better.
A little bit better. Let's take one that's based in Germany.
Better.
UK?
Better yet.
What I'm trying to say is, it takes somebody that knows what they're talking about and understands what's happening in the market and what are the projections for it to say, where should we be invested?
Well, isn't it a good idea, Joe, to diversify into a little bit in every market?
Well, let's just yes and no. Yes and no. Right now, here's what I believe. This is Joe Martek. America. Remember this country?
Oh, yeah. We're doing pretty well.
We're doing very
well. Up until yesterday in the market.
Well, but let's just take this. This is just before the show started. We were talking. The NASDAQ 100 is still up 6.5% for this calendar year. 6.5% this calendar year. The NASDAQ 100 are the top 100 companies in the NASDAQ, which is like 4,000 companies, give or take. Am I close, Alan? And that includes like big names, Microsoft, Apple, Netflix, go on and on and on. Some of these companies are not doing extremely well this year, but some are. It's still up 6.5% so far this year, even after a down day. Even after a down day. The S&P 500, now that's 100 companies, right?
Right.
Now we go into the Standard & Poor's 500. That's 500 of America's biggest blue chips. So when I've got 600 companies, there might be some duplication in there, but when you talk about, and these companies are doing business all over the globe. But they're based in America. And I got to tell you, folks, America's where it's at, period.
Yep. There's a lot of investment going on right now. There's a lot of overseas funds.
Well, The key is this. If we look at some of our biggest companies in America, they're doing a ton of business, some of them more outside of America than they are in America. But the key thing that you try to look at is, where should I be invested? Well, it's not easy to make decisions, but if we use America as our base, we can always diversify into funds that may not be just in America. Just so happens right now, most people don't think that's a smart thing to do. The world economy is not doing as well as America, and one of the reasons the market has taken a pretty good hit was they're worried that the world economy is going to start dragging us down. And that might very well happen. We just don't know. I don't believe it will, especially during 2019, but who knows when? Who knows when?
Well, one thing that we look at in the mortgage industry, and we try to forecast what interest rates are going to be in the future, and then sometimes it's a flip of the coin, is we look at the yield curves.
Yeah.
We look at the comparison between a 10-year T-bill and a 2-year T-bill.
Question here. The yield curve is inverted now, but the last time it was inverted, it didn't affect the market.
Well, we look at the 10-year to 2-year comparison.
Okay.
So what happened was yesterday, the 10-year T-bill went down to 2.91.
Right.
Now, just about a month ago, we were at 3.3.
Right.
Now, that's great for mortgage interest rates. So you might say, oh, this is nice. Everyone should take advantage of this. But sometimes you have to be careful about what you wish for, because there's usually a reason why interest rates go down. And when you get close to that inversion point, and we are close to the inversion
right.
point, that's when the 2-year interest rate exceeds the yield of the 10-year.
Right.
That usually indicates something's up in the market.
Usually.
Well, the last time it happened was back in 2007, and that's when the recession of all recessions hit.
Well, but you got to look at what the instigators are of a recession. Just the yield curve by itself is just one indicator.
Right.
It is not necessarily the harbinger.
No, and there's been many times where the yield curve has been inverted and there was no recession. But every recession that happened and was started by an inverted yield curve.
Okay. Now, next comes this. So now, why I'm talking about a variable annuity, it allows you to be in the market. Like last year, if you'd have been in the 50% in the S&P 500 and 50% in the NASDAQ 100, you would have netted in this particular product over 20%. That's called a good year.
Yes.
Nobody in the world is going to complain about 20% in 1 year. If you'd have been invested in the S&P 500 since the Great Depression, what would you have averaged per year, Alan?
About 10.8%.
A year. Now, there's been years where it went up 20 and 30, and years that it went down 20 and 30.
Or more.
But the key is this. In the long term, if you've got a long term, especially if you're young, this looks like a pretty smart place to be. You can ride the roller coaster, but the end is 20, 30, 40 years down the road, your roller coaster is going to look pretty good. Now, but the insurance company says, wait a minute, a lot of people are not in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they don't even want those people. They want people that are more conservative, because once you put insurance into the equation, you got to pay the insurance company. And nobody wants to pay an insurance company anything, because we don't want to. I mean,
who do you blame them?
Well, we can't. Well, we got
to
have car insurance.
Pay the IRS.
Do we want car insurance? Of course not. Do we want house insurance? Of course not. Life insurance? No. Health? Pick one. We don't want any of them. But most of us cannot afford to live without them. You'd have to be worth multi-millions to be self-insured to cover yourself for all of these different liabilities. Anyway, so then the insurance company comes in and says, here's what we're going to do. Now, not all of them do this. I'm just giving you an example. This is education. Number one, whatever you put in, they're going to guarantee you an income on it for the rest of your life. And if you're the right age, it's either 5 or 6% per year. So let's just use an example. I put $100,000 in, and immediately I can take out $5,000 a year, whether I take it monthly, quarterly, annually, and that $100,000 is there. Now, what's it mean it's there? It means I drop dead, my family gets $100,000. Market goes down to $50,000, and I'm taking out my $5,000 a year. Some of these companies say we're going to add 5% a year to the death benefit. So I drop dead, the market's down to 50, I take out 5, they put in 5, my family gets $100,000. Some of them also say, well, we'll also give you the highest anniversary or the highest quarterly anniversary. We'll bump up that figure so that if you die on the wrong day when the market's down, your family doesn't suffer. Same insurance company says, guess what? We're going to guarantee you that income no matter what, but once a year, on the anniversary, if the market goes up, we reset it on the up. So like last year, if I put 100,000 in, I get 5%. Year later, it's 120. That's now the new basis.
It so you get 5% of the 120 now.
Right, it cannot, so you get $6,000.
It can't
go
down from that. And if you're old enough, you get 6%. Right. So what they do, the older you get, if you don't die, they give you more money. But they guarantee it. Now, let's say the market goes to 200 and you put in 100. And you don't care about dying and you don't care about getting 5%. Cash it in and run. It's your money. So it's got two sides. It's got market and then it's got insurance. Well, if the market wins, we don't care about insurance, right?
Correct.
But if the market doesn't win, like I had a client walk in to see me, Mike, some time ago. He said, year ago I had 1.5 million, now I'm down to 1 million. I said, what happened? He says, I went to see my broker, and my broker says, give me some time, I'll get it back for you. And he says, I'm 80. How much time do you think I've got? Well, obviously, if he was 30 or 40, he could probably work it out, and it would all work out over a period of time. But when you're 50, 60, 70, 80, all of a sudden you may not have as much time as that kid. Historically, you're not going to live forever. So the concept of the insurance is, number one, we got to pay the insurance company. So the insurance company is not going to take money out of the guarantees. They take it out of the market side. So using that same example, that if you netted 20 last year, the insurance company might have made 3% on top of that. So you would have made, instead of 20, maybe you would have made $23,000 or $24,000, but because there's an insurance company.
That's the cost of having the insurance policy in place.
Cost of having the insurance. But what you're doing is protecting you in case you don't die, and you're protecting your family in case you die on a wrong day. I joke about that, but it's really the truth.
So the worst case scenario, it sounds to me, Joe, is if the market goes down, you might not want to liquidate it at that point in time, but you're still getting your 5% return on your original investment.
There you go. And then once a year, if it goes up, they recast it, and it goes up. But it never, once they recast it up, it can never go down from that point unless you take out more than 5% a year, or 6 if you get old enough. Now, my compliance people say you have to know which insurance company you're dealing with. You have to know their claims paying ability. One of the things about dealing with A-plus rated companies is that I don't want any aggravation. Insurance companies have all kinds of protections. 90% of us, 95% of us don't realize who we're dealing with when it comes to an insurance company. We hope they're good. That's why we have a state insurance commission that says once you're an admitted company to do business in the state, you pick up the protections of the state. So, quite honestly, insurance has been the backbone of our country forever to protect people from losses, whether it's a hurricane, car insurance, life insurance, health insurance, whatever it might be.
And these insurance companies are life insurance companies. They're not subject to these changing weather conditions like hurricanes or whatnot.
And what you just said is exactly true. These are not casualty insurance companies, meaning dealing with cars and hurricanes and stuff. They're life insurance companies. But they do this kind of business. And folks, let's face it, insurance companies don't lose money. So what they're betting is that you're going to die on the right day, and you're going to take money out over a period of time, and it's all going to work out to their benefit. But like anything else, if there's 1,000 that it works out for, there might be 100 that it didn't, but the 100 that it didn't are now protected. So you need, when I look at the volatility in the market right now, people that have 401ks, 403bs, rollovers, they need to look at these things and understand the difference between being in nothing or in something, or in being in something that's insured. 1-888-221-8990. All right, class, you're supposed to write that number down. This is important. 888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. 1-8-Alan, you're not helping me today. 888. See, Alan's supposed to.
Well, you're the one looking right at the number, James.
I know that helps.
888-221-8990. Even Pastor Dave over here, who's fallen asleep on us, he forgets that number on occasion.
You want my help?
I wake up
to you.
Repeating it. I wake up.
Recovering
the dreams of it.
Yeah. If you want my help, I will give it to you right now.
Too late.
Ocho. Dos. Uno. Ocho. Nueve. Cero.
Let me ask you a question. How much Spanish do you speak?
That's about it.
Yeah, I'm good. Cerveza, por favor. En baño.
But he's very fluent in what he can speak.
He's up to number 10, right?
Yes. Higher than I go.
Well, yeah, I was pretty impressed. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. That's about as far as I get.
Yeah.
Except I can maybe slide in six and people aren't sure if I'm the right language, but that's about it. All right, so class, the whole concept of our group is to educate you, to help you, to answer your questions. Last week we had what I call a better than normal show because Mike Paulus was here with a credit expert.
Yeah, he runs our credit reporting business that we use. Mark Tedda from Certified Credit, and he had, he was a wealth of knowledge last week, answering a lot of questions for our listeners, all about credit, what drives credit, how to increase your scores, how to better yourself to get ready for a mortgage application. It was a great show.
We had one of our members this morning on the thing said, well, what about having too much credit, not enough credit ratios? And I said, I'm glad you weren't here yet last week because that was exactly what people were calling in about.
Yeah.
What if you have 10 credit cards or 5 credit cards? Should you cut them up or keep them? Anyway.
I had that conversation with two other people earlier that day, and I just said, listen to the radio show and you'll get all those answers.
Yeah. Well, the key is this. Everybody wants a good credit score, especially when you're getting a home mortgage. But understand this. Your credit score, the way the mortgage companies look at it, is different necessarily than you're buying a car loan or getting a furniture loan or something like that.
Correct, yeah.
So,
and a lot of people don't realize that because they go on to these companies like Credit Karma,
yeah,
just for example, and they'll get their credit score and it could be a 700.
Right.
And then they'll come in and say, I'm ready to apply for my mortgage. I got my credit score. We're good to go. I run the credit report and it's a 640. Well, how is that? Because the credit bureaus run different types of credit scores depending on what the use is. You know, like as a mortgage company, we look at your past mortgage histories. We look at your installment loans, a little bit heavier than, say, a credit card or a store credit card. Where, obviously, if you go to apply for a MasterCard or a Visa, they're looking at a different score. So every score that is run is used for different purposes, and it could be significantly different.
So the concept is this. When it comes to somebody wanting to get a mortgage, one of the first things we suggest strongly, whether you use Mike or anybody else, if it's a mortgage broker, in fact, I was talking to a person last week. Actually, Mike, you'll get a kick out of this. I went down to my little island in the Keys last weekend.
Yeah, where you do your camping. Lobstering, right?
No. The lobster's in Florida Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 miles from the nearest anything, size of a football field. The magic of this island is no city lights, no city noises. It's breathtakingly beautiful. It's small, size of a football field. The moat around the whole island is full of mangrove snapper and other kinds of fish. It's breathtaking. So normally I'm there by myself. Happened to be a bachelor party going on with 10 guys in their 20s.
Well, that doesn't seem to be a bachelor type of island.
Well, the key that it happened was, if you're the bride of this guy to be,
mm-hmm.
There's no woman in her right mind that shows up on this island, because this is out here 10 miles from nothing, no 7-Eleven to run to, no running water, no electricity. So it's you know, it was a perfectly guys all hanging out. So I had to become in my 20s, and I lived through it barely. But a couple of the guys brought up the fact, one, he just bought his first house. And these guys all work, most of them, for one water company over in Inglewood, Florida, which is north of Fort Myers, south of Sarasota. And he said he worked with a mortgage broker for a year getting his credit in right position, and how she counseled him to help him get into his first home.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, and I love to hear it when somebody else does what you do.
Yeah, there's good ones out there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You just have to look.
Well, you and I both know, and Victoria, one of her favorite sayings is, not all realtors are created equal. Well, guess what? Not all mortgage people, financial people are created equal. Some people are better than others, just the way life works. You know, and I talk about insurance companies. Let's say there's 100 that do the same thing. Well, one's on top of the heap, one's on the bottom of the heap, and everybody else is someplace in the middle.
Well, you know, Joe, it's funny because if you go to a loan officer from a national bank,
right,
those loan officers do not have to take their continuing education. They don't have to be individually licensed. I have to be individually licensed by the state. I have to do continuing education. I have to do continuing testing.
Right.
So just like you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think you get more professionalism and more knowledgeable people to work with when you're dealing with a licensed mortgage broker or a licensed mortgage originator, I should say.
And I look at my business, too. If you go into a bank and they've got guys like me that have financial advisors in there, but I had a young man that used to work for me, educated, handsome devil, college graduate, worked for a big insurance company, moved here from Denver to go to work for me, and he's going to take over my practice. Now, Mike, you'll get a kick out of this. So I send him out to meet a client of mine, and existing client, you know, you're going to service and help the guy. And this guy's very charismatic, good guy. So the next day after he visits my client, I said, so how are the Smiths? And I'm using a fictitious name.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the Smiths. And I said, yeah, the Smiths. You went to see him yesterday. He says, yesterday. Hang on a second, let me get the file. And I said, you forgot already and you just saw him yesterday? He said, let me look at the file. And I said, how in the world did you ever graduate from college? And he says, I'm a good test taker. And I said, quote, you need to go to work for a bank because the bell rings at 5 o'clock. You can walk out the door and you don't need to know anything. Tomorrow, you can start over again. You can't do that when you're an independent like we are. You have to know your client, know your business. People need to know what they need to know, when they need to know it, and you better remember them.
Sure. Yeah, so, absolutely.
I can't say that I remember every customer, but it's impossible to remember all.
But as long as you take good notes, I mean, I keep every one of my notes, and this way I can look them up. I can tell them when their birthday is. I can tell them what their kids' names are. And
what's your name again?
I don't know.
1-888-221-8. But yesterday, if you met a client yesterday, I would be reasonably sure you'd remember today what happened yesterday.
Yes.
So, and anyway, he did go to work for a bank.
Well, I mean, it's not that everyone who works for a bank is bad.
He's very charismatic, handsome devil. The people walk in the bank, they like handsome devils, charismatic. Just because he's not too bright, they still hired him anyway. I didn't say that bank was wrong. But the key thing is this. What we've done with our group over the last 20-some years is try to say, hey, we've put together the best local professionals that I can possibly find with credibility, integrity. And integrity is probably the biggest single word. We work with people, let you know that we're doing the best we can. We try to be as honest as humanly possible. I don't think you could make any of us lie. There's almost 200 years worth of combined experience in here with all these guys. We've all been in business a long time. And if we throw Alan into the picture, we got 300 years of experience because he's really old.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a story. It didn't involve me. It involved another financial broker. A firm I was working with many years ago, he was a seasoned broker, and he said to me the best way of keeping your clients is at least call them up quarterly and go over their accounts with them. So this one client had over $1 million with this broker, and the broker calls him up for a quarterly review and says, How do you like the way things are going so far this year in your account? Do you have any questions? And the client says, well, you're managing my money. You tell me. And the broker says, look, he said, I manage your money, but it is your money. I do not take responsibility for your money if you don't have any interest in knowing what your money is. And he said, I think you better find another broker. Well, he did. The broker actually said, go to another broker. About a year and a half later, he gets a call from the client saying, I lost about 20% of what I had with you when the market was up like 8% in the same time period. Can I come back? And I promise I will talk to you about my statement. I will look at them. And that was a great lesson for me.
Well, you know, and it's another thing when compliance people, one of the questions that is asked constantly is, do you manage people's accounts? Do you do whatever you want? And the answer is no. I do nothing without the client knowing what I'm going to do. I don't make any changes without their approval. Now, 50%, 30%, 5%, 70% call up, and I'll say, hey, I think we should make changes, and here's why, and here's what it's going to cost you, or it's going to cost you nothing, whatever it is. And they'll say, Joe, do whatever you want. And I said, no, I want you to understand why I'm doing this, and it's in, if it's in your best interest. And if you have questions, you got to ask them. If you don't have questions, I'm still going to call you anyway because it's your money. Now, I've never fired a client like it that's worth $1 million, but I want to talk to that guy because every time he fires one, I want it. I won't lose him their 20%.
Unfortunately, he's with the Lord now.
Well, then all his clients are gone. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that in our group, what we try to do is put together local professionals that can answer questions and do what's right for you and educate you. And there's no bad questions. I don't care on how many times we get people call up and say, I know this is going to sound dumb, but I got to tell you, there's no such thing. I will tell you, I look at Pastor Dave here when I started teaching him certain things that you, and here you're an old guy. You've been around a long time, but you learned quite a bit of stuff from
Harvard. I have learned. Unfortunately, I don't have any resources to go in that direction. But
hey, forget it. What good are you? I thought I was going to make a buck here.
But I know a lot of stuff thanks to you.
Pizza, you know about.
Pizza, oh, yeah.
The key thing.
Now you know about inverted yield curves.
Understanding the inverted yield curve, 98% of the people out there don't know what it is, and honestly, they don't care.
Yeah.
Those of us in the business, we look at it, and how does it adversely or positively affect our long-term business, and is it a harbinger of things to come?
Right. So, but for the short term,
yeah,
it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
It means that mortgage interest rates are low.
Yeah.
They've dipped down. Now, we've gone down probably between 0.25% and 0.5%. In the last week, since last week when the Fed spoke and said that the rates are approaching neutral, which is Fed speak for, hey, I'm almost done raising rates.
That's what I can't tell you how important the Fed chairman is when it comes to the world is listening to him in the business community.
Now, here's a guy that only has to open his mouth and moves the market in tremendous ways. They didn't even take an action. They didn't raise rates. Now, in 2 weeks, they're expected to raise rates.
Yeah, right.
But you know and I know that the market already has that baked into the interest rates.
You know, they're only going 0.25%. What happens is there's most people that believe that we're still at a zero interest rate because if inflation's 2% and the Fed rate is 2%, that's called break even.
Yeah.
Now, the Fed rate was at zero a couple of years ago trying to stimulate the economy. And then with our new political administration have done some tax reform and changes, all of a sudden the economy took off to where we have the lowest unemployment rate in 59 or 60 years, and it looks like it's going to stay at that rate for a good while. And our current administration is panic-driven to make sure American companies stay in America and hire Americans and produce for America. And part of the administration's things are to kind of get us on a level playing field all over the world.
Well, he's been a little hard on the Fed, too, lately.
He doesn't like them. And he appointed them.
He might have a different view this week ever since he...
Our guy that's running the country, he may say something today that he'll change his mind tomorrow.
Well, yeah, it makes you wonder whether he influenced, you know, the Fed's decision to reduce the...
Here's what you and I care about. We care about full employment, companies making money, people making a good wage, and being able to afford things, and being able to save money for retirement, and being able to retire well, and to take care of their families. We just care about that whole picture. And it's not a simple picture. It's very complicated. And there's many, many, many ingredients that go into it. But the people that sit at the top of the heap have a lot to do with what will happen to all the rest of us. We're kind of like victims or beneficiaries of what goes on. You can be a victim or a beneficiary. I guess one is a good thing and one's not, right?
I guess so.
I think there's synonyms, but one sounds better than the other. So the concept that we try to do is, hey, this is what's happening. We try to study it and understand it so we can pass on the information to people so they can make more intelligent decisions. All right, nobody's calling us. Nobody loves us today.
Well, I've got a question for you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
There have been times where interest rates actually have gone below zero, negative. And if that happens, what would cause that?
Well, I don't think, I have never seen where interest rates in this country have gone negative to the consumer, right?
But never to the consumer.
Right.
No.
Now, there is a possibility that they would get to zero where the, you know, and usually you have to understand when, most of our listeners don't understand this, but when the Fed raises the interest rates, they're talking about the Fed funds rate. That's the interest rate that banks can borrow from the federal government overnight.
Now, repeat that slowly.
That is the interest rate that the banks can borrow from the federal government.
From the government.
From the Fed for just 24 hours.
There you go.
That's an interest. That's an extremely short-term interest rate.
Right, right.
Now, that affects prime rate. It affects credit cards, home equity loans, car loans.
On and on and on.
But it doesn't directly affect mortgage rates. Now, generally, it affects the whole credit market. So
generally.
over time, it will affect mortgage rates. So it doesn't happen quickly.
Right.
I'll give you a great example. I mean, the mortgage rates were really unaffected by any of the Fed increases this year, and we've had three of them.
Right.
Up until like October, November. At the beginning of November, or actually the beginning of October, the 10-year Treasury security, which we base our interest rates on, that just broke 3% for the first time since, 2007?
Long time.
Right. So that was a big deal. Now, November 1st rolls around, we peak out at 3.3%. Now, mortgage rates tend to be about 2% over the 10-year T-bill. So you're looking at 5.3%. Yesterday, down to 2.9. So you add 2% onto that. Mortgage rates are generally about 4.9 or back under 5. So it's a great opportunity to take advantage of that situation. But I've never heard them go to zero.
So they have had these, quote, below zero interest rates. And I don't know how that works. I mean, how do I borrow money and you pay me? Right. And America's never done that. But they have done this in theory in Europe, in different countries, we've heard. So what happens is that means if I'm creditworthy and I'm a bank and I get money from my government, I don't have to pay it back.
Well,
interest, and I'm gonna pay you back less than you're giving me.
Didn't they do that really in theory when they bailed out a lot of these banks? They made them take money.
Well, the key was they're talking in America, but I'm talking in Europe now, where we've had these below zero interest rates, because they're trying to stimulate the economy by making money looser, and if you're a creditworthy bank and you can borrow $5 billion from your government and you're paying no interest on that money.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't you do that? You know, I was talking, Mike, to a buddy of mine. I paid cash for my house. I said, well, congratulations. He says, yeah. He said, why should I pay interest? Because, you know, they front load all the interest. You pay more up front. And I said, that's not true. You pay interest on the unpaid balance. He says, that's not true. And I said, yes, it is. Where you been, boy?
Yeah, they haven't used that.
That old rule 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I said, what happens is you borrow $100,000 from on a house mortgage at 5%, so that's $5,000 for the first year. Divide that by 12 is 400 and something a month is interest. However, every month a few bucks goes to principal, so every month the amount of interest you pay is a hair less.
Yes.
Now, yeah, because very little goes to principal.
Well, unless you're in a 15-year mortgage, and I'm a big touter of 15-year mortgages. I love them.
If you qualify for them.
If you qualify for them, but we tend to be a little bit more easier on the qualifying guidelines for 15-year loans.
Your payment's going to be a bit higher, but the bottom line is you're going to have a lower interest rate. And 90% of the people that take out a 30-year mortgage say they're going to pay it off sooner, and the 90% do not.
Do not, right. More important things come up, like the trip to the Bahamas.
Hey, amen. Trip down to Little Rabbit for the bachelor party.
Right.
But I'm going skiing next month, Mike.
Oh, very nice. Stay off the ice.
I'm going to Montana.
Big Sky.
Nope. Big mountain all the way up to the Canadian border. 3 feet of snow on the flat right now.
They're getting a lot of snow out west.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's figures. It's the year I'm going to go on a cruise.
You know what happened? Yeah, I know. You and I both are. But you're going to go get more burnt. And I may get burnt too, but only in my face. You know how that snow burns get?
Yes.
what happens is, you know, when you're an old guy where I go, they call you the over the hill gang. No lift ticket charge.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's like $500.
I tell you, it's a very expensive vacation to take a ski vacation.
Well, yeah, but I'm going by myself. It got cheaper. One, you ever go ski, Dave?
No kind of skiing. I've not ever done that.
No water ski. No. Nothing.
I've slipped on wet sidewalks before. That's the closest it gets.
Ever done it with ice underneath you?
Yes.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm.
I've done it with ice and a car underneath me.
Yeah. Well, we've all known. Yeah, up north, that glare ice was always exciting. Sliding off the road. 1-888-221-8990. I think nobody loves us today.
And I discovered 2 weeks ago what Florida ice is. It's called gravel.
Yeah. When Alan decided to lay down in a parking lot.
Joe, as we get into the Christmas season, let's talk a little bit about 2019. As far as my opinion, things still look bright. Do you agree?
They look unbelievably bright. The key thing that what's happening today, and negativity sells, but the fact that the rest of the globe is not doing as well as us or not even approaching as well as us, it's got fear of contagion. Like, if you look at Italy, the tax code runs from 23% to 43%. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's up to a 20% VAT tax. So, VAT tax is sales tax that you don't see. It's buried into the price of an item. So, you're paying $8 a gallon for gasoline. Well, we're paying $2.21 for a gallon, or 11 mm-hmm. cents today up in Fort Pierce. You know, we really have got it made, but other countries are in much worse financial condition than we are.
Well, just look at what's happening in France when they tried to raise the gas tax.
Yeah, they're having riots. What happens is you take people that are just barely getting by, and now they say they can't even have a car because they can't afford, because if you're in the city, you don't really need a car, but the people that are rural, it's a different story. But that $8 a gallon, you need a car maybe getting 80 miles to a gallon to make it kind of, but they do.
Well, it's fine if you live in the city where you take public transportation everywhere, but if you live in the rural communities, then you have to use fuel.
The key thing is this, you know, we are, thank you, Lord, we are in America. I can't tell you these last 2 days watching the funeral of President deceased Bush has just made me extremely proud to be an American, because this guy was a stellar person, a good, solid, good guy, and he did things that he thought were best for this country in retrospect. And you know what happens is no president is rated while they're in by anybody except the opposition, which nobody likes them. But once you're out and dead and gone, all of a sudden, you know, you ever notice how everybody's a good person after they died?
I'm hoping for that.
Yeah. it's an interesting thing, all the people that, what the wonderful things they said, but the things that he accomplished while he was in that most of us don't pay much attention to were pretty dramatic. So I'm just proud to be an American, especially these last couple of days, and just very grateful and very thankful. And speaking of 2019, I expect it to be every bit as good as 18 or better. From the market standpoint, I think the market's going to do a major rebound, because I really believe our administration will get these tariffs all settled.
Yeah, I think that's causing a lot of inverse, it's nervousness in the market.
A lot of nervousness.
It's really affecting how people invest.
The concept is a negotiation and I love the concept of a level playing field. For years and years and years, America's been big brother to the world and given away everything we can and don't get paid back. Well, this guy now running a team is saying, hey, let's make it fair. And the word fair has just never been a word that's been used, but that's what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think, are we running out of time, Chief?
Not quite yet.
How much time do we have?
Well, it's according to the official timekeeper over here, it's 4:49 and 20 seconds.
Wow.
And at 4:52 and 30 seconds, I'll give you the five-minute warning.
We can be loquacious yet.
Wait, at 4:52 and 30, I get the five-minute clock, the five-minute card?
That's right. That's exactly
right. Speaking about the funeral of George H.W. Bush, it gives us a chance sometimes to refresh our memories as far as history is concerned, and to look back and see where we are now versus where we were then.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things is Ronald Reagan is remembered for that speech, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. But then in watching the coverage of the Bush era, it refreshed my memory that the wall actually came down during George H.W. Bush's term.
Right. Yeah, that was the fall of communism.
And there was a whole bunch of other things that occurred that are pretty much been swept under the rug that made our globe, in theory, a safer place and a more productive place. And back then, this world trade was almost non-existent. Today, it's like everybody's a suburb one of the other. You know, money's flowing back and forth, and cars and businesses and materials and soybeans and who knows what goes all over the world. It's just a different world. But in theory, hopefully, a better world.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. I mean, the Bible says it's the duty of each generation to leave more for the next generation to build on God's word.
Well, I was kind of impressed, too, with not only the preachers doing the eulogies, but other people, what a godly man G.W. Bush was.
Oh, yeah.
And how his faith governed him from family, friends, business, politics, the whole nine yards.
Well, look at the letter he left for Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
When Bill Clinton came in, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
I don't think President Obama has ended his letter to Trump with the words, "I'm rooting for you."
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I heard a rumor about when George W. Bush entered into office, they removed all the W's from the typewriters, or the keyboards, I should say.
There's rumors for everything.
And that was the Clintons.
One. Well, you know, there are stories out there that are not all true, but some of them are more humorous than others. What I liked was when George H.W. Bush was in the hospital dying, and one of his political friends brought him in a bottle of Grey Goose vodka, and somebody brought him in a steak from Morton Steakhouse.
Well, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
At this point, who cares?
But I tell you what, the world did look up to the United States back when George Bush was in office. I mean, I was there in Berlin that year, the year preceding when the wall was taken down, and you know, the view of Americans was very positive at that point.
Yep. Now politics and the poor consumer, the average person, is not privy to what really goes on behind the scenes. They're privy to what they read in the media, hear in the media. And I think we've really learned big time that the media isn't always telling the truth.
You don't think?
No, you're kidding. Huh? And it's been very discouraging. When I hear people say certain things, I become such a cynic, Mike. You know, it's just this one of the things of getting old, I guess. You keep hearing stuff and you say, "You really believe that?" "Oh, yeah, it's on the internet." "Uh-huh."
Well, I think the listeners are getting more knowledgeable about that, and they're being just as cynical,
which is good. You've got to pay attention. You've got to learn, and before you make decisions, to have a good basis, a good foundation. And you know, it's another little thing that in Florida, it seems like every scam artist in the world comes to Florida because the weather is good and a lot of old people have money, so they try to take it away from them. One of the things that I've always looked for: how long a person's been in business, especially in one location. So if you get an automobile garage or an AC company or whatever it might be, every time I see somebody 5 or 10 years in business, my stomach just feels better. Because, you know, bad words travel more than good words.
Especially if those professionals lived through the recession and made it out alive.
Made it out, yeah.
But that's one of the things that impresses me when I've used people in the MarTech group, that it's more important to build a personal relationship with somebody who you trust, then you have more confidence that the advice you're getting is going to be to your benefit.
There you go.
And everybody on the MarTech team, that's number one. They want to build that relationship first, because then they know when they do that, you will be happy to give them a fair compensation for their work, correct?
What goes around comes around. I guess if there's an easy philosophy, that's the one we have.
I think the number one question when you're interviewing a professional is, where do you get your business? I know that personally 90% of my business comes from past referrals. Now I'm refinancing and doing mortgages for my customers' children.
So
that kind of relationship, you know, really tells the tale, really tells the story.
And that's what happens.
Of success.
When you get people been in business 20 and 30 and even close to 40 years, which is part of our group, there's a lot of experience there. And I look at Dan, our buddy Dan Warren. Man, what he's been able to do for people, the way he's operated his business is just phenomenal. And how many people have saved mortgages for you because they couldn't qualify for a mortgage based on the wrong insurance?
Yeah, and most people don't know that. When we calculate how much you qualify for, we look at your total debt ratio. Well, guess what? That insurance, that premium for your homeowner's insurance is factored into your debt ratio. So the lower you can make that homeowner's insurance, the more mortgage you'll qualify for. And I can't tell you how many deals Dan has saved for my customers because they were able to get, because he has such a wealth of knowledge and such a breadth of...
You've got a ton of companies.
Different companies to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a very competitive rate, and he's able to save my customers a lot of money.
We only have about a minute. If I can, I'd like to just wish our Messianic Jewish friends a most happy, healthy holiday. Hanukkah is in process now, and I would just like to say that I pray that all of your miracles for 2019 come true.
So let me ask you, how many candles do you have lit on your menorah?
I have. Tonight, 4.
Hey, look at some, I had to pick on him. You know that. Our messy Jew here. It was, excuse me, folks. He's a Messianic Jew. Do we have time for a call? Hey, caller, it's Joe Martek. We don't have much time, but how can I help you?
A quick question, Joe. The money I inherited from the house that I just got,
right.
There was no taxes on it.
Is
there any special forms to be filled out there at tax time?
At tax time, there may be, but I don't think so.
15 seconds.
I'm just giving you a quick one, but your tax person will tell you. But the bottom line is, as long as you inherit it and sell it within a short period of time, that sets up the value, and you actually sold it for less than it was worth. So so you're fine.
Time's up.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Team Martek Program. The Team Martek Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek Program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.